I also want to greet each of you in that precious name, the name of Jesus. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 17. These verses talk about end times, how it's going to be evil. And it talks about in the end times, the godly will be persecuted. And then lastly, it talks about focusing on God's word as the times are evil. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as James and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no farther, for their folly shall be manifested unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came upon me, unto me at Antioch, at Lycurium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All who are able, let's kneel for prayer.
The title of the message this morning is End Time Deception. And you may want to turn to the scripture that was just read in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'd like to begin with a few thoughts from that chapter. So I asked the question, have you ever been deceived? If I asked for a show of hands, mine would go up first. To deceive means to believe something and it's not true. It involves an act of trickery, delusion, or misrepresentation to fool another person. On May 8th, 2021, I ordered and paid for a battery-operated ride-on truck for our grandchildren. The website appeared legitimate, well authenticated, and the products were professionally presented. It was a great deal for a limited time. List price, $235 for only $70.50. A 70% savings. It was stated that shipping would take 15 working days. I also wanted to use the truck as a prop for the school skit, which was less than 4 weeks away. So I needed to get that truck on time. About a week later, I became suspicious and emailed the company asking for tracking information, which they had not provided. They did not respond. But shortly thereafter, I received an update from PayPal with a UPS tracking number. So I went on the UPS website, entered that tracking number, and to my dismay, I discovered it was shipped May 10th, 2 days after I ordered it, and delivered 1 day later, on May 11th, at 5:33 p.m. And on the website, in that delivered box, it said, "Met customer woman." We did not receive the package, and Jane did not meet any UPS driver to collect it. UPS details stated the package was 1 pound, but the package would have weighed approximately 60 pounds. Free shipping is usually not that fast as to arrive the very next day after shipment, especially if the website stated 15 working days. The shipping label was created after it was shipped, but labels are created before shipment. At that point, I realized it was a scam. I was duped and deceived into believing a lie. But it looked legitimate, sounded good. Of all things, I should have known better. As it has been stated many times, if something is too good to be true, it probably is. By the way, I did get the $70 back thanks to my credit card company. I had to submit a dispute resolution letter with all the details to prove my case. In today's world, fraudulent scams and schemes abound. Deception is increasingly prevalent in our society, especially in the spiritual realm. Deceptive ideology is making inroads into culture, politics, and business. It is becoming more and more evident in the entertainment world, public education, universities, mainstream media, and even, sad to say, in professing Christianity. Numerous websites are promoting a hub of deceitful philosophies that attack decency, morality, and biblical values. Abortion, homosexuality, transgenderism are promoted and defended. Many who take a stand against those sins are accused of hate speech and being divisive. Animosity against Christians and Jews is increasing. The diabolical nature of the venom used to brainwash the gullible pinpoints its source. Revelation 12:9 says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Satan and his demons are the source of all the deception, which, as we know from Scripture, will be on the increase as we approach the end times. Second Timothy 3, look at verse 13. But evil men and seducers, meaning imposters, shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The character of these evil men and imposters in verse 13 is described in verses 2 to 9. The perilous or dangerous times mentioned in verse 1 come from and are due to the increasing end time deception and its influence on humanity. There's no doubt that our world has become more dangerous due to the violence and criminal activity. In the 1980s, students here at school would sometimes take a walk around the block, a distance of 2.7 miles. A privilege break on Friday was an hour long, and on a nice day, a group of girls, for example, could get permission to take that hike. Not today. Students must stay on church property, and they can't even be outside without staff or adult supervision. Times have changed. The tragic shooting of those police officers on Wednesday, just 5 miles from here, is another example out of many that we live in a rapidly changing world. That event made national news. It hit home to many relatives and friends of those deceased officers. One of those officers lived just 2 tenths of a mile from here. Also, the family, the mother and children, experienced a quite traumatic event in their lives, the ones who were stalked. The husband and father of that family passed away in February of 2023 after a battle with cancer. We need to be in prayer for all who have been affected. You know, it's helpful to read the news and view world events through the binoculars of God's Word. When world events are seen through those lenses, we see the trouble, we see the terror. But beyond the turmoil, we see the sovereign hand of God. Nothing is out of His control and His plan for the ages. Scripture reveals a basic sketch of what is to happen in the end times. Jesus told us of His coming. The Apostle Paul gives many details. And John the Revelator saw prophetic visions that we can read. Prophecy is being fulfilled right before our very eyes. And there's more to come. When the time is right, the Father will tell His Son, you know, it's time. Return to earth in like manner as you ascended. Go now. Bring home your bride to the place you have prepared. It's time for our people to enter into the joy of the Lord. And at that point, We are going to hear a trumpet blast reverberating around the planet. Every eye will see him, and we will meet him in the air. He's coming soon. Are we ready? Jesus shared a warning with his disciples that we would be wise to heed. Turn to Matthew 24. In this discourse, Jesus uses the word deceive 4 times. Matthew 24:4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Take heed means beware or see to it. Verse 5, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. The deception will be widespread. Verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Their message will be persuasive. It will sound credible. The promoters of deception will be many. Verse 24, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. The deception will be so powerful and so convincing. It will be a strong delusion, according to 2 Thessalonians 2:11. And the deception will also be directed to persuade believers of the false narrative, if it were possible. But it will not be possible. To those who are relying on the wisdom and protection of God and their knowledge of the true Christ. The deception will have supernatural and religious components, but will be extremely dangerous, demonic, and deadly in a spiritual sense. Signs and wonders refer to miracles and the groundwork of this great deception is being laid today. Turn now to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We see here Paul warned the Thessalonian church about being deceived and shared an end-time prophecy to alleviate their troubled minds that the dead in Christ would somehow miss out on Christ's coming. 2 Thessalonians 2:3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And then in verse 7, we read of a coming wave of deception that will sweep over the earth, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. The word mystery means something that has not yet been revealed when Paul wrote this epistle. The word iniquity refers or conveys the idea of lawlessness. There is a restraint presently in our world against lawlessness that will eventually be taken away. The fear of civil retribution for crime, for disobedience, is effective in keeping law and order. Paul in Romans 13 says, "For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." Speaking of our civil authorities, our police force, sheriffs. "For he is the minister or servant of God to thee for good. But if thou do which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the servant of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil." So civil government, ordained by God, is a restraining power. Here's a case in point. The U.S. Attorney's Office reports that violent crime is down dramatically in the District of Columbia since the National Guard was deployed in August. Overall, violent crime is down 35% and on track to be its lowest level since the Metro Police Department began reporting that number roughly 20 years ago. On a worldwide scale, when that restraint is removed, the onslaught against morality and holiness will have free rein. The man of sin, the Antichrist, will take control. And governments will yield to this evil mastermind. Right now, the foundation is being laid for lawlessness. It's already at work, but is restrained. Preparations are presently underway for something much more momentous. I'd like to share with you what I believe are some indicators that deception is increasing. Number one, when truth becomes relative rather than absolute. We now live in a world where the person defines truth. The person or the group decides what is right. Feelings often dictate what is proclaimed as truth. Biblical standards are derided and mocked. Anyone who stands for biblical absolutes is labeled as divisive or a hate spreader. Eliminating from society a person who stands for God's truth is justified in the minds of many. It appears Charlie Kirk was murdered by someone who felt justified in what he did. The assassin accused Charlie of hate by saying some hate cannot be negotiated out. Ironically, the assassin harbored hate in his own heart so extensive as to kill a husband and father of two young children. What the perpetrator or possibly perpetrators did not count on is that instead of muting and silencing the voice of truth, they actually amplified and magnified it. They magnified his influence upon billions of people. Romans 1, 24 and 25 is descriptive of the deception, I believe, in the assassin's mind. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. When people repeatedly reject truth to justify immorality, God eventually gives them up to the lie they desire. He allows the deception they crave to take hold because they refused the truth that was their only means of salvation. What happened in Isaiah's time is being repeated today. Listen to Isaiah's prophecy in Isaiah 59, 13 to 15. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street. Inequity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. Take a stand against evil, and you become a prey. The predator kills the prey. Notice the words in those verses. Are they not descriptive of the actions we read about today? Transgressing, lying, oppression, falsehood, judgment turned back, justice far away, and truth fallen in the street. Many are changing the truth of God into a lie. And that brings us to the next indicator, when good and evil are reversed. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 5 pronounces woes or judgments on Judah for their wicked behavior. Judah was guilty of producing wild grapes of unrighteousness, as is illustrated in verses 4 through 7 in chapter 5 of Isaiah. Their wickedness even led them to proclaim sinful things as good, which is why Isaiah exclaims in verse 20, "Woe to them who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." The same inversion is happening today. A growing number celebrates sin as freedom, and righteousness is labeled as oppression. Sexual perversion, lawlessness, and pride are elevated as virtues. Meanwhile, purity, obedience, and biblical standards are scorned and ridiculed as evil. With this great reversal, the gospel message and biblical morality becomes archaic and divisive in the minds of the deceived. At the same time, They tend to accept sinful lifestyles as a demonstration of love and unity. A prominent elected U.S. representative made this statement about Charlie Kirk. His rhetoric and beliefs were ignorant and uneducated. That mindset represents many right now who are celebrating his death, which is a glaring modern-day application of Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Our revival memory verse applies here. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But praise God unto us, which are saved, it's the power of God. Number three, when knowledge increases and is censored. The prophecy of Daniel predicts this trend of knowledge increasing. Daniel 12:4 says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the end of time. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." The growth of human knowledge has always been steady, but in recent decades, it's increased exponentially. The internet has made information readily accessible to billions of people. Added to this accessibility is the even more recent development of artificial intelligence. AI not only stores knowledge, it organizes, analyzes, and even creates it. AI can shift through centuries of literature, scientific papers, or historical records in mere seconds, providing summaries and finding insights that would take humans years to uncover. AI is powering breakthroughs in medicine and diagnosing diseases. It is revolutionizing industries by optimizing production and predicting trends. The potential for AI to be used for good is tremendous. But it can also gravitate toward questionable ethics and morality, or provide answers that are based on false ideology. The danger is that as the masses gradually come to depend on AI for determining information and what is right and wrong, what happens to looking to the Bible as a moral compass and benchmark? A scripture that comes to mind is 2 Timothy 3:7. Always learning. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Knowledge will increase. Learning will expand. But truth will be evasive. AI is artificial, not divine. The potential for AI to be used by the wrong person or entity is very real. History confirms that by controlling information the masses can be controlled. Totalitarian propaganda works by controlling all media sources and censoring outside information to keep people aligned with a corrupt government message. It is no secret that the government and media censored information during the COVID-19 pandemic. The truth was often deleted or blocked. And only that which supported government or big pharma was allowed. AI is already generating deep fakes and alternative facts. Algorithms can be used to decide what you see online. The potential for widespread deception has never been higher. My personal opinion is that AI will likely become a powerful tool of suppression, surveillance, and control in the hands of the Antichrist. Data centers are being built at an accelerated rate to facilitate the growing demand for AI. How do we know deception is increasing dramatically? Number one, when truth becomes relative rather than absolute. Number two, when good and evil are reversed. And number three, when knowledge increases and is censored. How can believers guard against deception? I'd like to share four. Number one, know the Word of God. The antidote for deception is the truth. We must purpose to be people of the book, reading, studying, obeying God's Word. Those who don't know the truth will tend to fall for the counterfeit. 2 Timothy 2:15 says it well, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, that it needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Number two, be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. He gives discernment and helps you test what is true and what is false. Stay yielded to Him daily. And you will be able to interpret world events in the light of truth. John 16:13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And get this, and He will show you things to come. Number three, test the spirits. If you have a caution in your spirit about a person or a teaching, step back and evaluate. 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove or test all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Leave the umpire of your heart make the call. If you don't have a strong sense of peace, take caution. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That Greek word for rule literally means umpire. And number four, speak the truth in love. We can't afford to be silent. Share the gospel. Speak up for Jesus. Be respectful. Love people who are created in God's image. Shine your light in a darkening world. In the opening, Brother Paul mentioned Charlie Kirk's mentor, Frank Turek. Frank said this about Charlie. Quote, he was all about Jesus. Going on, he said, I love the fact that he was a 24/7, 365 Christian in every area of his life. Unquote. That is the one outstanding aspect of Charlie's life that has impacted and convicted me the most. In public, no matter who was there, he spoke about his Savior. Yes, deception is on the rise, but God has given us everything we need to stand firm and be overcomers. His word is truth. His spirit is our helper. And his return is our hope.
Jesus clearly said, as it was in the days of Noah, and the worst is yet to come, I'm afraid. But the best is yet to come too, right? The Lord Jesus. If you're able, let's kneel before the Lord.